The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to How to Survive, the show that teaches you how to survive the stuff that can kill you.
Like sinkholes, or contaminated water, or flash floods.
And the stuff that just makes you wish you were dead.
Like stolen food, or falling pianos, or being falsely accused of something.
Ugh, I hope I never get falsely accused of something.
Did you take my water? Too late, you just were. Boom!
Oh, gotcha. You got me.
Gotcha.
You know what would make me feel better right now?
Our theme song? Play it.
Ground is shaking under our feet. Mountains on fire, flooding in the street. Can't breathe the air, can't fight the feeling. Gobbling down Xanax, ain't the way to be dealing. Gotta do better than just getting high. We gotta stick together if we're gonna survive.
Hello, what's going on?
We're ready to go.
Where you said you're never been more ready.
Never, ever been more ready for this than today. I went to a movie.
What'd you see?
With my family.
Oh, the whole family.
The whole family went to see Argylle.
Oh, and?
I mean, I think if you're 11, it's fun.
Okay.
I think if you're an 11-year-old, you're like, this is a fun movie. If you're an adult, you're like, gosh, this could have been so good if it had been done better.
Yeah, I've seen the preview about 178 times now, and I never wanted to see it again.
Yeah.
And
I mean, you can tell by the preview.
Exactly.
You're
what
like,
it is,
this
right?
is not going to be that good, because I think.
I have a question.
Yeah.
When Catherine O'Hara says, so you're doing drugs now?
Yes.
Is that actually in response to to Bryce Dallas Howard saying, what does she say? I'm in trouble or
I'm in London and I'm in trouble or something.
Is that
I think it is.
Oh, okay. Because every time I see the preview, I'm like, I don't think those are to the same scene. It just seems
I think it's got all the promise of a really fun movie, you know?
Like
spy and great cast. I mean, Sam Rockwell.
Love Sam Rockwell.
How can you go wrong? Catherine O'Hara. I like Bryce Dallas Howard.
Sure.
Some, you know, fun people that are in the background, like John Cena and the
Henry Cavill.
Henry Cavill is nice to look at. And you just go, oh, I wish they would have given this to somebody to punch it up.
Oh.
I wish they would have given this to Tina Fey.
Right.
Like some really solid joke writer, because you have all these moments of responses where something crazy happens and they go to Sam Rockwell who's going to say something crazy and it's just flat, you know?
Oh, that's a bummer.
And, you know, he's just magnetic and charismatic. And even he is like, I'm sorry, I can't do anything with these lines you're giving me. Like, it feels.
Okay. Well, now I know I can skip it.
It's also easily 40 minutes too long.
Oh, for fuck's
sake. Easily.
And is that Dua Lipa?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You know what I like to call her?
Dua Little.
Oh, that's much better than what I was going to say. Poor man's Gal Gadot.
Oh, okay.
She's stunning.
She is stunning.
But I'm like, oh, you're like Gal Gadot, a little less beautiful.
Okay.
It's mean.
I didn't know it was her. I was just like, wow, who's that beautiful woman in the preview?
Yes.
And then someone said that the movie didn't do well over the weekend, and maybe she was bummed at the Grammys or something. I don't know.
Oh, she didn't look bummed. She looked amazing at the Grammys.
I didn't watch it.
I watched the first hour, and then we had to put the kids to bed. But she was, I was like, maybe I was wrong. She's not the poor man's Gal Gadot. Maybe she's
pretty stunning.
Just incredible looking. I can't stop looking at her. Like, you know, she's just insanely beautiful.
She opened the Grammys, right?
She opened the Grammys.
Oh, she performed.
She performed. Oh, okay. She opened the show, and she was incredible. And you go, oh, yeah, she's a talented supermodel.
Okay, gotcha.
You know, like, just she's everything.
Yeah,
it's
Oh,
I can sing, I can dance. You know, she's good at... I mean, you would be a better judge about who can dance than...
I have not ever seen her dance. Well, I don't even think I've seen her perform.
I was like, oh, she's got a good voice.
Yeah.
She can dance. Her body is a model's body. Her face is incredible.
Yeah.
And then I saw at some, like, website, Dua Lipa's 10 book recommendations. And there were, like... decent books. It wasn't like something where you go, oh, it's the Four Agreements, you know, where like the Celestine Prophecy. It was like books go, holy shit, those are good books.
Wow.
So I'm like, oh, and she's apparently smart. So fuck
screw
you.
Her. She's like the female John Hamm, or she's probably really hilarious too.
If she's funny, I will stab her.
You can stab her in the face.
Yeah.
And did the cat look cartoonish the entire time? And why?
No, because sometimes when it wasn't doing stunts, it was a real cat, I believe.
I don't get it then. That just drives me crazy how cartoonish it looks when it's falling
I don't know.
Down.
I guess they can't use a real cat for that.
I know, but I mean, we have amazing technology. Yes. Like, also, why not? Cats don't mind. There's so many cats.
I mean, take a couple from your backyard.
Yes.
Those cats have had a good few months. You know what, though? They used one of those, what are the bent-eared cats called that, like, Taylor Swift has one of them?
I don't know.
You know what they're called, right, Gary?
Oh, God.
They're not like Himalayan. They have a fancy name, and they cost, you know, a ton of money, probably $10,000 or something stupid. You can't just throw those off a building.
No.
You got to throw, like, one of your cats off a building.
Right. Oh, that'd be fine. Look, they have to contribute to society some way. You know, on the dole this whole time.
And they got to star in a movie.
Yeah.
Who else
can say that?
Henry Cavill.
Right.
Before they're thrown off a building. I think most of them would raise their paw to volunteer for that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Who wouldn't? I mean, I might.
Sure, I would.
So anyway, we did that. That was...
Okay.
What about you?
Well, it was my birthday weekend.
Yoo-hoo!
So, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Great weather for that.
Yeah. Well, we went to see Some Like It Hot was playing at a an old-fashioned movie theater in El Segundo.
How fun.
Where they have a Wurlitzer.
Oh, my God.
And it like, lights up. It's crazy. There was a sing-along. We sang songs all together.
Before the movie?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
It was fun.
Did your dad go?
No.
That felt like something your dad would enjoy.
Oh, no. This was just me and Oliver and Jimmy. And,
Did you rent out the theater and have this happen for your birthday?
Because I didn't invite either of you.
Cool, thanks. And, you're like, I invited my real friends.
And there was a Warner Brothers short, you know, a Bugs Bunny short before the movie. And it was great fun. Oliver and Jimmy had never seen the movie before, and so they were actually a little disappointed. Well, because they kept pumping it up as like, AFI says this is the funniest movie that's ever been made.
Okay.
It's certainly not the funniest movie that's ever been made, or even in that era. So it was it's kind of ridiculous.
Yes.
Well, the other thing that happened was, so Sunday, a friend of the show, Alex Alexander, was kind enough to take me out to a very, not very nice restaurant.
Wonderful.
Downtown LA called 71 Above.
Okay.
And have you heard of it?
It's really high, right?
It's really high. And so she kept telling me, like, the views are amazing. And I looked online, looked at pictures. And I was like, oh, it's so pretty. There's, like, this huge, amazing view of downtown. So it's pouring rain.
Yes.
It's pouring
rain. Perfect tonight for a view.
Yes. So we get there and she drives up to the valet. It's not covered or anything. It's just, like, out on the street. So I grab my umbrella and I run to the, you know, front of the building. Mm-hmm. And I look back and poor Alex is soaking wet. She couldn't get her umbrella open or something. So she's standing at the car soaking wet. And she comes up and her hair is like suddenly curly. Like, it all has gone to fuck.
Oh, no.
And I was like, I'm so sorry. I thought you were, I didn't know. I thought she was covered. Anyway, we get up there. It's like you have to check in at the bottom. Then you take two separate elevators to get up there. And it's all fancy schmancy. And get sat by the window and it's freezing. But okay, it's by the window. You cannot see a fucking thing. I mean, it was black. It was hysterical. We were laughing. It was just ridiculous.
Yeah.
We moved because it was too cold by the window. And it was wonderful. The food was great. Good. The waiter was so nice. The place is beautiful. It's like spread out and lovely.
Yeah.
I highly recommend it.
Okay.
But, and it's one of those places where you select an appetizer, you select a main and a dessert.
Prefix?
I guess.
Is that how you say it? Prefix?
It's prefix. Prefix. I never know if you're supposed to say it.
Which X do you say?
I know.
God damn
prefix,
it.
Prefix, I think. Prefix.
I think prefix is right. I'm like, prix-fee? No, that doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
Prefix.
I think that's... Prixie-fixie?
Oh.
Prixie-fixie.
It's prixie-fixie.
It was a lovely weekend. Then last night I had dinner with my family and my dad.
Nice. Where did you guys come over to this side of town?
We drove in the rain. It was fine.
It wasn't as... It's. I mean, at least where we are... It's not as bad. I'm happy that there's not, our driveway isn't blocked down at the bottom. That's been still okay.
Yeah.
And we all came in.
Yeah.
Guys,
we're all fine.
We're all here. We weren't going to skip a week because of this 100-year storm.
It doesn't seem that dramatic.
It
to
wasn't
me.
Even raining when we came in. I think it is dramatic in certain areas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just,
right.
We're in, you know, sort of outside of those areas so far.
Yeah. My son's, you know, school was flooded, but, you know, they just had to go to different classrooms. It's fine.
Our bathroom and our bedroom had water pouring down the sides of the walls. But then my husband, because we have a roof that leaks badly, my husband put two more tarps on the roof and then covered the tarps with extra bathroom tiles that we have to hold the tarps on.
Then he sprayed it with your dry shampoo.
He sprayed it with my dry shampoo, and I think we're okay now.
Great.
Once the rain stops, we actually have to have the roof repaired. Like,
yes, you do.
It's bad. I'm going where you want to go. Going together, which is to our topic.
Yay.
I'm going to start with a little news update, guys.
Oh, okay.
How fun is that?
This is so contemporary.
So LA Times is talking a lot about our superstorms, called by many different names. And one of the things that intrigued me was an upside down piano that was in Beverly Glen.
What?
So a baby grand piano splayed on its back on Caribou Lane off Beverly Glen Boulevard.
What?
Yeah. So.
But, okay. Do they know how it got there?
I'm about to tell you.
Okay.
I'm about to tell you. Hey, guys.
Tell us.
I'm about to tell you.
Does this come with the new hair? This accent?
Yeah, I'm going to get a mullet. The piano's former home was pushed off its foundation around 2 a.m. on Monday, sliding down the slope and into another house.
Wait a second. You said the piano's former home, the whole home slid down?
Yeah, that's what
And pushed into another house?
Yes.
Okay.
It was a big rumbling sound and then a boom, Longcore said. This is the person who was a neighbor, Travis Longcore, standing a few doors down from the debris slide. Insulation, wiring, mud, boulders, and downed power lines made up the mixture of debris along with what's left of a brown baby grand piano.
Okay.
You know what I'm sad about? There's a link at baby grand piano, and I clicked on it going, yay, picture.
Yeah.
No, it links to another article. So I don't know
what. Well, that's ridiculous.
I know. I'm going to try to find a picture of the downed.
But it's so cute because it's a baby.
I know.
So helpless.
And like, it's brown.
And it's brown. Oh.
The whole bedroom is intact, someone shouted, peering from afar into a gaping hole on the front of the house.
Yeah. In which the piano slid out.
Yes. And, like, didn't land on anybody like in a cartoon. Which
too
I
bad.
Guess is good, but also fun.
Yeah.
When you think about it.
Yeah.
Ite Danovich's phone rang at his home off Beverly Glen Boulevard just after 2:30 a.m. Monday. It was his neighbor, Matt Davis, calling from Danovich's carport. Davis and his family were taking shelter, having fled their home after hearing the wall of mud and debris crash into the house nearby. The house was destroyed, two of their homes were damaged, and a carport collapsed onto a vehicle, neighbors said. Guys, I'm getting to a point, just so you know. I'm leading us to something.
Yeah.
So I just think this is all interesting, and I wanted to share it. When the wrecked house disgorged its contents onto the narrow street, it sounded like sustained thunder. And then it sounded like a giant took an oak tree and snapped it in two.
Oh, my goodness.
That's got to be really intense in your house to have these sounds happening.
Well, the also, this was also 5 minutes probably from where we are right
now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That is wild.
A lot of it's happening right here. Davis and his family had been sleeping in their living room Sunday night, concerned about the chance of a repeat of the previous year's debris slides. We were already fearful, Davis said, adding that his family had flashlights and an emergency bag ready just in case they lost power or had to run out. Ivanovich, who had then lost his house, let multiple neighbors take refuge in his home. This is previously. A major concern was a gas leak that they could hear hissing. Over the heavy rainfall early Monday. By 11 a.m., a Southern California Gas Company crew was working on the damaged property. Workers declined to comment other than to confirm the gas was shut off. Okay, good. Longcore said firefighters rescued a woman from her home after she was trapped inside, but it did not appear that anyone was hurt. According to neighbors, the house that slid down the hill was unoccupied. That's good.
Okay. So wait, I thought that was the guy who let people stay in his house.
I think it was before that.
Okay.
It's a little confusing.
It was unoccupied when it was sliding.
Yes,
okay.
Exactly. Okay.
Well, yeah, because there weren't people there to weight it down.
Or to hold on to that piano.
Yeah.
You'd think that would weigh it. I mean, a piano's so heavy. Woodland Hills, Bel Air, and Topanga Canyon were among the areas that saw more than 8 inches of rain. The atmospheric river-fueled storm already smashed several daily rainfall records. Of course, we know this. This is just an aside, but it kind of... And I shouldn't make this statement not really knowing that areas that are ravaged the most, but it does make me feel a little bit good that it's the wealthiest people that do get the most affected in a lot of these.
Yeah, because they live on hills.
Because they can, well, they live on hills, but also it's like they can handle it. Like,
I don't know, though. I mean,
I don't mean safety wise.
No, I know.
Physically, just they're still in
financially,
danger.
Right.
I just mean like.
It probably won't ruin them.
I would rather them take this hit than like it's happening in the poorest areas of LA where, I mean, look, it's not good for homeless people. They're outside. This sucks. But I don't want people who are like living in apartments, barely hanging on to be like, well, we lost everything.
Right.
Because they have nothing.
Yeah. Like when the Northridge earthquake hit, it was like apartment buildings and stuff.
Or, you know, Katrina.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
So I don't know. It sucks. I don't want
to. It sucks either way.
It sucks for everyone. I don't want to, but I'm just like, well, at least it's kind of happening to people.
Yeah,
who
and
are
hopefully they have insurance.
Wealthy executives. Yes, flood insurance. Okay. Let me see if I want to tell you anything else about this story. Oh, there is something I want to do. This is what I want to tell you. Nathan Khalili, 23, rents the property atop the hill. He said he expects his property manager to assess the damage later today. I'm usually not worried about storms, but I didn't think a landslide would happen. I woke up, looked outside, and half the mud had slid down the hill. Khalili said he didn't take many steps to prepare for the storm. It's out of our control, he said.
Well, he's a renter.
Well, that is going to lead to what I want to talk about today, which is how to survive and prepare for a flash flood.
Mm-hmm.
But just to give you one funny anecdote about Khalili, because he said it is out of our control, and he's a dummy. He's also 23, so let's cut him some slack.
Yeah.
He lost power between midnight and 9 a.m. Monday. Unable to charge its battery, his phone died overnight and did not play his usual morning alarm. I'm supposed to be at work right now, but I accidentally slept in, he said.
Why is that? I don't understand. Why is that?
Why is that important?
No, but why is it embarrassing or whatever you're getting at?
My point is, he's saying it's out of your control, but he didn't prepare at all. And now he's not showing up to work because he couldn't charge his phone.
Right, because it was out of his control.
But it's not, because he could have prepared.
Yeah, he could have.
So my point is,
previously charged the phone.
Point is, if he would have prepared ahead of time and had ways to charge his phone, which you can do.
Right.
It's like an easy thing you can do.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have been late for work.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
And
well, also, if he hadn't stopped to talk to the reporters.
Absolutely.
He wouldn't have been late for work
either. I'm sorry. I got to get to work. I'm already late.
Stop trying to be a show off, buddy.
By the way, who is this guy who at 23 can afford to rent a place on a fucking mountain?
The Hollywood Hills?
Yeah, 23. You know what? I bet his parents.
Daddy.
Parents are paying.
Yep.
Khalili. All right. Let's talk about flash floods.
That's.
Because we're in one right now.
Yeah.
We might.
Oh no! Right, the door's.
You know what?
Down.
While we're doing this episode, we might actually be swept away in one and need these tips.
Right.
All right. Obviously, flash floods occur when there's just too much water coming in too fast. That's what Bonnie Schneider says, and she's a meteorologist, so we want to listen to her.
Oh, Bonnie.
Bonnie's smart. Climate change is compounding the risk. The risk?
Wrist.
The risk.
Do you have a compound fracture in your wrist?
I have a compound fracture in my brain.
And your mouth. She pointed to her mouth when she said brain.
I mean, guys.
So she does.
Here's what you should do. Dig a hole and throw me in it and then put some dirt on top of me.
Okay. Well, you'll be safe there.
Warmer air holds more moisture, which can lead to heavier, more intense rainfall. Flash floods can develop quickly, within hours or even minutes. And they often catch people off guard. Do you want to know how many people they kill a year?
Yes.
Try to guess.
How many people flash floods kill a year?
Yes.
In the United States.
In the United States.
110. That seems high.
I would say hundreds.
Go ahead, Karen.
700.
88. You win, Danielle. Yeah. You know what? She writes on game shows.
So I know she knows
how to guess things like this. Right. You should go on game shows.
I can't because I write on them.
Damn it. Experts say you can increase your odds of survival by staying informed, okay, which we do, right? Mm-hmm. We all sign up for Nixle. And
I don't know what that is.
All right, I'll teach you how to sign up for it. Okay. I'm going to teach everybody when we get to that.
All right.
And have a plan, okay, guys?
Yeah, Khalili.
Have a plan. Yeah, don't be Khalili. Here's what to do in advance and in the moment, okay? If there's a flash flood, watch. Flooding is not guaranteed, but the conditions are favorable. That means favorable for it to be possible, okay? So be prepared to change your plans.
Okay.
If it's a warning,
mm-hmm.
that means a flash flood is imminent.
Okay.
Or already occurring, and you immediately move to higher ground if you're outside or if you live in a basement apartment. Also, if you live in a basement apartment, I don't know.
You're Laverne and Shirley.
Yes, you are. And you're working in a
brewery.
Soda factory?
Brewery.
You're right. I just remember the bottles. The bottles. You're like, how many times do I need to say it?
You know what? They did look like soda bottles, but I think they worked in a brewery. Wasn't that the whole point? Yeah, Milwaukee. Milwaukee's famous for their breweries.
They were weird bottles, though, right? I guess people used to drink beer out of those long bottles.
Yeah. Okay, Garen, I'll look it up. They also were candy stripers, and they did a variety of jobs. And they were just ladies trying to make it.
Yeah, they were really just trying to make it work.
Yeah.
The most dire alert is a flash flood emergency, okay? Which means flooding is occurring and it's posing a severe threat to human life.
Whoa.
Okay. Here's what you can do before a flood. Make a plan, all right? Way before there's any even rain forecasted, okay? You want to figure out how your family's going to communicate, meet, and evacuate if there's a flash flood emergency. How are you going to escape from your home if you need to, all right? Who's going to be responsible for your children? Garen, Danielle,
yeah.
You guys are responsible for my kids.
Oh, okay, sounds good.
Where will you meet if your family becomes separated?
Ooh.
Find a meeting spot.
Okay.
I'm going to say like Islands Restaurant, like I said earlier. We don't have one by us, so.
Yeah, we don't either.
I don't know where we're going to meet up. The American Red Cross has printable templates to help guide your conversation.
Oh, okay. You know what I was thinking we could do, my family, is we could ride that dog. Because she's so big. We could just get on that dog and she could float around and take us to safety.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Just a thought.
You guys could meet at a Target.
Yeah, we could meet at the Target. That's true.
We don't have a Target that close, but we have a good Mexican restaurant. Maybe we can meet at that Mexican restaurant. Eat some chips.
You're just having margaritas.
Why not?
Oh, now I want a margarita.
Margaritas are good.
Yeah.
We're going to have one for your birthday.
Oh, yay!
I know. It's going to be so fun. All right. Also, evaluate the flood risks to your home, work and school, as well as the routes between them. The flood maps developed by the Federal Emergency Management Agency are a good place to start. So here are the two websites. I put my address in both of these, and I still couldn't figure out how to assess the flood risk because I couldn't figure out how to I couldn't read these maps, which seems very female.
Yeah, I can't read maps either.
But
I really
can't. One of them is called it's msc.fema.gov, but I think if you just Google into your browser whatever browser you use, if you just put in like flood risk to my home.
Oh, okay. It'll say like
it's going to bring up. Yeah, it's going to bring it up, and you can at your leisure, find out if you live in a flood risk zone.
Okay.
The other one is called myhazards.caloes.ca.gov. That's for California people.
Okay.
We can put these in the newsletter. I'm just telling you now, in case you're a person.
Well, there's also on Twitter, right? There's Caltrans.
Yes.
But you have to know what district you're in.
And that's for updates. This is for specifically, that's for weather updates.
Oh, I'm sorry. What were you talking about?
This is for flood maps. These are flood maps. If you want to know if you live in a flood risk zone, like, this can help you decide if you want to get flood insurance, because flood insurance is separate from your homeowner's insurance. Uh-huh. Like if your home is damaged in a flood, I don't know that you're going to get coverage from your general homeowner's insurance. I think you need specific flood insurance.
Right.
Or just if you, you know, curious, do I live in a flood hazard zone?
Yeah.
You might already know by now because we've been in enough floods to see what happens at your house. But also because of climate change, things are changing for everyone in that, like, you might never have lived in a flood zone before. And now you're like, oh, right. we all do now, actually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now it is. It's just like when you look, if there's any, like, child molesters in your neighborhood. It's like, oh, yeah, every single.
Oh, every other single, house.
Oh, every neighborhood. Got it.
You're not going to not live by a child molester.
Right.
Congratulations. So you can check those out. Find out if you are better at reading a map than I am. Okay. We've talked about this on probably 7 to 10 other episodes, but I'm going to say it again because even I had to just, after saying this, putting this episode together, put stuff in my Amazon cart. Prepare a go bag now.
Right.
Okay. It doesn't have to be giant. You can do something small. Pack a go bag. It should have important documents. You can put those in a Ziploc or another type of waterproof bag. If you don't like using Ziploc, they have those reusable ones you can get on Amazon that are great. You want some medication?
Yes.
You want an extra set of glasses if you need glasses?
I thought you meant drinking glasses.
Or, yeah, shot glasses.
I'm like, you're what? Need I have to save my...
You need shot glasses so you can have your margaritas. Danielle and I cannot go a day without a margarita.
Oh, my God.
We have got to have our tequila.
And they have to be in those fancy margaritas. I put those on my fucking wedding registry. What life did I think
That's
I was...
That's hilarious.
I think... I really thought I was going to be... Lucy or the Stevens from Bewitched. Like, I thought I was going to be entertaining and making margaritas.
Oh,
these
that's
fucking
funny.
Glasses in my house. What is wrong with me? My husband's an alcoholic. What was he doing?
You were taunting him.
It was aspirational.
Yeah. No, it's fine. You know what? Sometime you can have me over and we'll have
margaritas. I'll have to scrub them because they've never been used. Just collected in dust.
I have... glasses for martinis.
Oh.
But they're huge.
they're like the
Cosmos, I think, when they were like from the giant ones. Because I was like, whoa, we're just going to be having giant martinis. Never been used.
Hilarious.
Okay.
Well, we'll have a party where we just have margaritas and martinis.
Yeah, we're going to throw up most
throw
of the night.
Throw up.
Comfortable pair of shoes.
Sure.
A change of clothes. Possibly. I mean... I don't know. It says here to have some small bills, like number ones. Number ones and number fives.
I love when I get a number two bill. Oh. Then it's like, ooh.
Lucky.
Yeah.
I don't know how important that is in these days because...
Everything's...
So many places now are
don't even cash.
Want cash, but I guess it's... I don't know why.
But if everything's down
and
you can't... use machines and you can't use your credit card, then maybe it is a good idea.
Maybe it's good for that oldie timey gas station you're going to stop at. A phone charger, I think, is very important.
Yeah, Kalili.
And a phone charger that is not battery. Dependent. Yeah, right. Battery phone charger. A flashlight's very important. Water's very important. Non-perishable food, great, right?
Yeah.
Here's something that Ready.gov also advises. Password protected digital copies of important paperwork, like birth certificates, ID cards, insurance policies, wills, deeds, and titles. There's one option is you have all of that stored in your phone. Like, you can take pictures of it, have it stored in your phone in a file if your phone is password protected. We keep all that stuff in a fireproof safe in our house.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, you're so smart.
That has a lock on it. So we could just grab it and then throw it in a Ziploc and take it with us. But also, I would say you could have copies of it and have that in your go bag.
Right. Question.
Yes.
Why do you have to put a safe in a Ziploc bag?
I wouldn't put a safe in a Ziploc bag.
I thought that's what you said. I thought you said that we took the safe, we would grab the safe and put it in a Ziploc bag.
Oh, I said the, I think I said, did I say that?
You know what you should do is put Ziploc bags inside the safe.
Oh, you're so smart.
Double security. Just, well, a box of Ziploc bags.
I think I would have copies of that stuff printed.
Now I understand.
Put that in the Ziploc bag, right. And that goes in our little go bag that we just keep in our closet. What I need to do is go through our little go bag and replace some of the stuff that's expired.
Then you got to grab all of your animals.
Some of them are not going to make it. I'm telling you that.
Bye, turtle.
Yeah, turtles and snakes.
You're
goodbye.
On your own.
We'll take the cat and the dog if they're lucky. Pets, if you have pets, pack food, treats, extra leash if you have one. You know, keep your whole family in mind when you create your go bag, obviously. I got to pack lip gloss for Alex.
Emergency lip gloss.
She's got to have her emergency lip gloss. Okay. Emily Montanez, who is the associate director for LA County's Office of Emergency Management, said you should try to create a small community of close neighbors.
Ew.
No.
Right.
My neighbors, no.
They hate you.
They do. They hate.
Well, what about the bird watching couple? They like you enough.
I think they like us enough. Check so you can all check in when disaster strikes. Okay. So also this create an emergency contact list on paper in the event your phone stops working or the battery dies. Who knows? Because you don't know phone numbers anymore.
I don't
anymore.
Even know my son's phone number.
Right.
It's
we
terrible.
Don't. Nobody
Shameful.
Knows phone numbers. So that's a good idea, I think. David Markinson, chief medical officer at American Red Cross, says this might seem like overkill. It's not. Okay. The human nature side is obviously not to worry. And many people think this is not going to happen to me. Uh-huh. But as we just saw in that story that I began, you know, this topic with, a lot of those people were prepared. You know, they had some bags ready to go. And these are people that are just like 2 minutes from where we're recording right now. Right. So having this plan together, when you're in the middle of an emergency, you don't want to have to think, where's my phone? Where are my keys? Where's this? Where's that? You want to just be able to grab that bag.
Right.
And maybe you don't even end up needing it, but you want to just be able to grab it and go. And you want to have to think about, you want to already have the plan in place so you don't have to come up with decisions on the spot when you're possibly fearing for your life.
Plus, if you have the bag and the mudslide has brought out all the animals and you find yourself face to face with a bear, you can put the bag on your front.
Absolutely.
And then just chuck him with your body.
Exactly.
Right? Wasn't there something about that?
Yes, it's
also
a protective measure.
Put rocks in your bag.
That's what you're going to pack the bag full with.
Rocks, right.
Backpack full of rocks. All right. So, obviously, you pay attention to local weather alerts via your phone, radio, or TV in case of a power outage. Battery-operated radio. We have one of those. I recommend everybody get one. Throw it in your, wherever you keep your little supply kit. Okay. You just throw battery-operated radio. They're cheap. You can get one on Amazon for probably less than $20, maybe even, I don't know, $5. Mine came with a whole big kit. All right. If you have to leave your home, get your essential items that are not in your go bag, your driver's license, your credit cards, medications, and key documents. Put them in the waterproof pouch. I think I already kind of covered that. Oh, here's something important. If you have time, unplug small appliances so they don't get fried by electrical surges.
I got news for you.
Tell me.
I don't keep my appliances plugged in.
You don't?
No. My mother, who was, you know, sort of overreacted to everything, put me in that habit. So after I use the toaster, I unplug the toaster. After I use the blender, I unplug the blender. So none of it's plugged
in. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't, I guess we have it all plugged in, but only a couple things because we don't, like, I'll bring the blender out to use it and then I put it away.
Oh.
But our toaster's always plugged in, I suppose. Our coffee maker's always plugged in.
Just a thought.
It's
just
wasteful, though, isn't it?
Does it use energy when it's plugged in? I guess. I don't know. It's just a habit she got me into, and I don't even know if it's for safety or for saving money or, I don't know. But
okay.
I just.
That's interesting. It doesn't seem like a bad idea.
So can I tell you quickly about our preparations for this flood?
Yes.
So Jimmy and Oliver went out to get bags of like mulch so they could, you know, shore up places where water could get in. And then they went to Target to do something. And they came back. And Oliver got one of those, like, I don't know if your Targets have this, but they have like a little Pizza Hut inside. Oh, okay. And you can take a pizza. So he got himself a pizza for lunch. And Jimmy was like, well, put that down because I need your help. So Oliver put it down on the bench in front of our house so he could go help Jimmy with the bags.
Yes.
I think it took 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Comes back. His pizza's gone.
Oh.
He looks around.
Yeah.
Sees the Amazon driver.
Uh-huh.
Eating his pizza.
Oh, he thought it was for him. Or he just...
Oliver put it in only way Oliver could do.
Yeah.
Put it on top of the please take a snack box that we have, basket that we have in front of our house.
That the guy man got a pizza.
Ate his pizza. Oliver was like, what are the fucking... He didn't say fucking. What are the odds that in that time the Amazon guy would come...
With his pizza.
Took my pizza, ate my pizza.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's kind of hilarious.
Oh, Oliver. Sorry about that pizza.
That Amazon driver. Look at my timing. I got a piping hot pizza just waiting for me.
I know. They just must have known I was coming.
Oh, my God.
Wow, it's so funny.
All right. Don't live in a basement apartment, guys. If you do, be extra vigilant when it comes to monitoring rainstorms, okay? If you believe you may be in danger, immediately move to a higher floor. Just make friends with your upstairs neighbors. Just
let me in.
And maybe have a fling with somebody that lives on one of the higher floors and keep it friendly if it doesn't work out.
Right. And just have a bottle of booze in your go bag so that can be your entree to
knock
like,
on a
hey,
door.
I'm going to sit with you, but look at this. I brought a bottle of booze.
And have it be nice. Like a nice.
Yeah. And I have my blender
shelf.
And my really nice margarita glasses.
Exactly. And, Patron. Have it Patron. Don't bring some cheap bottom shelf tequila. All right. Obviously, avoid floodwaters. Okay, just avoid them. Here's the National Weather Service's grim catchphrase, turn around, don't drown.
Oh,
takes
okay.
I've said this before on probably a mudslides episode. It takes just 6 inches of fast-moving water to knock you off your feet.
Wow.
Okay?
Yeah.
The most immediate risk of entering floodwaters is drowning. But you may also get exposed to various harms floating around the water, like human, animal, and industrial waste.
Ugh.
Oh, I just...
Sorry.
No. I was just going to say, I heard just on LAist this morning that it was like... I could be getting this number wrong. I can be wrong, or Garen can look it up if he wants. I think it was like 6 million tons of human waste exploded out of some kind of water system and is going into the LA River.
Oh, barf.
Yeah. So
barf.
It's not safe to stick a finger in there right now. They're going to be testing it like repeatedly, but it was something was breached because of the storm. And now all this human waste is just going into the LA River, which is a real bummer.
Gross.
Okay.
I was just going to say, imagine that woman from the Eagles concert in 6 inches of running water.
Dead.
She's dead. She's fallen down.
She is. Not just that woman. 75% of the attendees of the Eagles concert.
Oh, our dating guy.
And the Eagles.
And the Eagles. The only guy.
I think Joe Walsh only needs 3 inches of water, and
Joe
he's a goner.
Walsh, he needs a puddle.
He's gonna just slip in the bathtub.
100%.
Maybe just. Okay, that's it. All right. If you're caught in your car. All right. Sometimes this happens when you're out and about.
Yes.
Like, this is us today. Guys, we're risking our lives to bring you this life-saving advice.
I hope you're happy.
I hope you're happy about us dying. You may suddenly find yourself in a life-threatening situation. Nearly half of all flash flood deaths are vehicle-related.
Ooh.
Right? Never ignore barriers. Don't drive into a flooded street, period. There really is no better advice.
Yeah, everyone's saying yesterday, don't drive. Just don't drive.
Just don't drive.
Just don't do it.
Don't do it. Don't do it. And then they were like, but we're not canceling school.
Right. So good luck getting there.
Do not drive. Karen Bass, the mayor, is like, don't drive. Just don't go out. And then, but schools are all open.
That's a good point.
Not only is it difficult to gauge water depth. I mean, I can't, if I look at rushing water past, I can't tell you if it's 4 inches or 12 or 18. All right. 12 inches of water can float your car.
Really?
That's all it takes, guys. That's all it takes. 18 inches can carry off your SUV or pickup truck, okay?
And
everybody underestimates the force of the water, okay? If your car does get taken by the floodwaters, all right, first, pray to Jesus.
Okay.
That was just my advice. Roll down your windows.
Okay.
All right. This is from Lynn Burchell. She's an emergency medical worker, rescue swimmer, and founder of Wimberley Rescue Training. Okay. If they won't budge, the windows. Mm. Okay. He recommends breaking the glass with an escape tool.
Oh, Life hammer.
All right. Which you can store in your glove compartment or using the metal pole of your headrest as a ram.
Yes, we've talked about that.
But I still want my life hammer because I feel like that's going to do the job better than the metal pole yes. of my headrest as a ram because I don't have a lot of arm strength.
Yeah.
Danielle, you have more arm strength than I do.
Maybe, but all maybe not.
It's important to open the windows because if the water continues to rise, then that car fills up and becomes more of a rock instead of a bobber floating downstream.
It's hard to roll down. Wait,
it's important to open the windows.
But wouldn't that get more water into your car? I don't understand.
I don't know how. Okay. I don't understand this. The science of if rolling down the windows, yeah. then that car fills up. Waters continue to rise. That car fills up and becomes more of a rock.
I think it.
You want the car to become a rock?
I think it.
All right, I'm going to keep
it. Maybe, because it seems like if it.
Yeah, and then it'll stop.
Fill up. It'll stop. And
the water going in makes it sink. And you want that, I guess.
No, you don't want it sink.
That's what he's saying. Listen, I'm going to keep explaining. Then unbuckle your seatbelt and grip it as you climb onto the roof and call 911.
Oh, I see. They don't want you floating down. They want you. Okay, you're right. In this case, you want to drown.
You
want to
stop.
You're not drowning, but I understand.
You want to stop the car, I guess. Okay. Do your best to remain with the car until help arrives. Lie down on the roof to keep yourself stable and don't tie yourself to the car in case it rolls. So you're just holding on to that.
Don't tie yourself to the car. Okay.
Because if it rolls, you're going to get buried in it.
Oh, got it. I thought you meant roll, but you meant roll over. Okay.
Okay, it says, during his 32-year career, Mr. Burchell has found that people who stay with their cars survive at a much higher rate than those who abandon them simply because it's easier for emergency services to spot a vehicle than a person.
Okay.
I really don't ever recommend leaving the vehicle, he said. To make yourself more noticeable, you can also turn on your hazard lights, activate your car's alarm with your key fob, and if possible, honk the horn.
Great. Love it.
God, that sounds so terrifying.
Yeah, it does.
I don't want this to happen to me.
Also, guess what?
What?
You're cold.
You're so cold.
You're cold. It's raining and you're outside.
And you're soaked in shit water.
Yeah.
Sorry I interrupted you.
No, I didn't think about that part, but you're right. It's all bad.
LA River shit water. All right. What if you're walking or hiking or camping?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, hopefully you're not doing those things when there's a flash warning.
But they can come just out of nowhere.
Okay.
Right? Because that's a flash flood. Run perpendicular to the water
okay.
and get to the highest point possible, okay?
Sure.
Whether that means heading into the nearest building, racing up the stairs, climbing a tree, or clambering onto a truck. The bigger and heavier the object, the better, because it will be less likely to float away.
Okay.
If you do get swept away, don't attempt to stand up, as you risk trapping your foot in a drain, fence, or other object.
Ay, ay, ay.
Imagine that. Oh, that's... Ugh.
So just lay there?
Okay. I think you just let the current, right?
All right.
It says... She advises swimming perpendicular to the current, as you would with a riptide.
Yeah, I think I've covered that. That sounds familiar.
Until you get to safety. Since you'll be fighting against drainages, debris, and the current, she warned this is extremely difficult, even for strong swimmers. I'm dead.
Ugh, I'm so dead.
I'm not a strong swimmer. I am not. I'm like a very weak swimmer. People need to realize that most people who lose their footing in a flash flood don't get out. Well, I don't want to know that because now when I'm in a flash flood and I lose my footing, I'll be like, well, that's it. I remember that saying. I'll forget it. I'll forget it by the time I'm in the flash flood.
Okay, yeah, you'll forget
it. I won't even.
You'll forget it by the time we're done with this episode.
I've already forgotten it. As for camping or hiking, Miss Munger advised searching the region's weather patterns and forecast before setting out. If there might be a rainstorm upstream of your destination, she suggested camping above any rivers rather than beside them, which I don't understand what that means.
Well...
Above any rivers,
if there's a hill,
them.
You know, if you're in a hilly area, go up.
Okay.
Don't be like right near the water.
All right, I won't. Can I tell you guys a story?
Yeah.
All right.
Do it.
I'm going to do it right now, and I'm not going to delay. This is from backpacker.com, and I got my sources previously from LA Times and the New York Times. Very reliable sources.
I've heard of those.
You've heard of those, right? It was late afternoon on Basse-Terre Island in the French West Indies. Until that moment, it was another day in paradise. The weather had been nearly perfect for November, sunny skies with occasional showers. A few hours before sunset, we decided to hike to Akumet Falls, tucked a half mile into the rainforested mountains near Guadalupe National Park. Heavy rain began to fall as we arrived at the trailhead, so we decided to wait for 5 minutes. Sure enough, it stopped, and we set off down the muddy path. Christina and I are experienced hikers. We've explored California's Sierra Nevada and slot canyons in Utah, where we know the importance of checking the weather for flash flood risks. But for some reason, it didn't occur to me that the same thing could happen on our tropical escape.
Oh.
Expecting to spend no more than an hour at the falls, we wore t-shirts and swimsuits. I carried my phone, camera, and a mini tripod. We were on vacation and visiting a well-known spot, so I hadn't told anyone where we were going. We hiked for 15 minutes through mud, roots, and hanging vines. After crossing the 10-foot-wide river at a shallow spot and walking upstream about 100 yards, we reached the falls, a 30-foot barrel of white water shooting over the rim of a granite basin. It was around 4 p.m., and only one other couple was there. We dove into the green pool and floated on our backs looking up at the canyon walls. By 4:30, the other couple had left. We knew we needed to head back to the car before dark, but I was waist deep in the river trying to photograph the falls, the hanging vines, and the dreaminess of the place. Christine was sitting on an outcrop of granite above the basin. I finally got a good shot, and then she screamed. With a crack like thunder, a wall of brown water hurtled over the top of the falls, carrying fragments of trees and plants with it. Flash flood. I jumped out of the river seconds before the deluge crashed over the spot where I'd just been standing. Christina scrambled barefoot off the boulder towards higher ground. Toward higher ground. There's no S there, dummy. I was me. I raced up the rocks, which had been at least 10 feet above the pool's surface, just as the flood submerged them. Christina and I clawed our way up the canyon on all fours, grabbing vines to pull ourselves up. I looked over my shoulder and saw that the water had risen 20 feet in less than a minute.
What?
I know, right? Christina led us through dense brush, prickly trees, and ankle-deep mud. When we'd climbed 200 feet, we stopped to catch our breath. Now we had a different problem. The trail and the road were on the other side of the swollen river. We were stuck. Then the sky opened up. We had no headlamp or rain jackets, and we were exhausted from the scramble. Christina asked if I had my phone. It was soaking wet, but still blinked on. No service. We decided to move toward higher ground to get a better signal. It was almost dark. For a moment, the phone connected, and I heard the faint voice of May, our vacation rental host. She said she'd call for help. Then the phone went silent. We had no idea whether rescuers could reach us. Christina found a hollow tree, which we used as a partial shield from the rain. We told each other not to panic as night set in, but I didn't know when or how we'd get off the mountain. I tried to send more texts to May, but most of them bounced back, undeliverable. There was nothing we could do but wait. We tried to convince each other that we couldn't possibly get hypothermia in the tropics, but our wet bodies were starting to disagree. We'd been stranded nearly 4 hours. Shivering, we huddled closer for warmth. It was pitch black and the mosquitoes were out, feasting on our scratched and bruised skin. After another hour, we saw faint light across the canyon, but no one in their right mind would try to cross the river that night. I didn't see how else we would get out. There were no roads and the sky was blocked with a dense canopy of trees. My wet phone had begun to lose function, but the flashlight still worked. I turned it on and shone it at the canopy above as a signal. The ghost glow barely registered against the dense vegetation. Then I heard the blades of a helicopter. In minutes, the trees were thrashing in the wind generated by the aircraft. A cable appeared through the canopy and then a rescuer.
Whoa.
We were safe.
Damn. That's a crazy.
So, yeah, I mean, even in like paradise, you can just be like, we're going to go down and hike to this waterfall and just, you know, take our
maybe it's a good thing and that Jimmy hurt his knee.
Yeah, he might have saved your life.
He really might have. Wow, that's insane.
Yeah. I mean, I've done lots of hikes like this where we're just like, well, let's just go down and see this. And we're just going to take our phone and duh.
Well, thank God she had her. She still had her phone with her.
Yeah.
Well, that was fascinating. I feel safer.
Yeah.
And I guess we'll be back right after this.
Can't wait.
Christine, how was your break?
It was invigorating.
Was it? Was it delightful?
It was so...
Did you go for a little sprint?
I just did a little run around the block and I did some burpees.
Oh, nice.
I do not know what a burpee is.
Okay, so a burpee is you're in standing position.
Yeah.
You go into a push-up... position, you do a push-up.
So you jump down to it?
Yes.
Okay.
You do a push-up.
Yeah.
And then you hop back up.
That I don't know if my knee could do that right now.
No, it's hard. I mean, we do them in Pilates. We're not jumping,
yeah,
but we're standing on the reformer, go down to the reformer, do a push-up, and stand up. It would be too scary to jump on it, but
I could do it if I didn't have to jump, but
yeah, you. I mean, you don't have to jump. You could still do a push-up and stand up. This is burpee talk with Danielle and Christine.
Now, what if I...
Brought to you by burpees.
Yeah.
What if I don't jump?
Yes.
I don't do a push-up.
Sure.
And I just walk out of the gym.
Okay.
Does that work?
And yeah. You go to Starbucks and you...
And I go to Starbucks and I get an Impossible sandwich and a...
And a venti...
That also works for me. On the first half of our show, we talked about flash floods, and now we're going to talk about flooding with accusations with our very special guest. I'm actually very excited to have you.
I'm so excited.
Mr. Bridger Weiniger.
Oh.
I said it right.
You did it. You did it.
Because I thought it was Weiniger, like vinegar.
Right, of course.
But Weiniger makes more sense.
And now we're closer than like 70% of the people in my life.
There you go.
We're already on a much higher level
than
a lot
of
people I know.
So Bridger hosts a very funny podcast called I Said No Gifts.
That's right.
And the premise is people come and they bring you a gift, right?
That's
even
right.
Though you've said no gifts.
I say yep. it
And they
constantly.
Always do, don't
and they?
They
always do.
It's ruining my life.
Yeah.
It's and absolutely ruining my life.
What do they bring you?
Well, Jimmy was on. He brought me a like a handheld vacuum.
Yeah.
Like a car vacuum.
Those are good.
Right?
That's a good gift.
It's a good gift, but it has to be plugged into a wall. Which
you need to charge.
To run. Which I was, what is happening?
That makes no sense.
So you have to, I guess, have an
extension.
No wonder
he gave it to you.
You can't use that in your car.
Right.
Unless your car's inside the house.
Or, yeah in the garage, I guess.
Maybe.
But that's, you would think it would be like a portable battery situation.
So yeah. Stupid.
That's ours.
Very
ours
odd.
Charges, and then you can take it out and use it in the car,
yeah.
And then you charge
this
it.
This has got the whole cable situation, yeah. So it's essentially a worthless vacuum.
It's like you bought a plug-in car. You may as well have just bought a plug-in car. Because
right.
That's
exactly.
That much of a pain.
Yes.
And also, you're a writer.
I am a writer.
And you've written on, did I see Kimmy Schmidt?
I wrote on Kimmy Schmidt, Black Monday, Jimmy Kimmel.
Wow.
I've been lucky to write on almost all things that I enjoy.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's wonderful, yeah.
That's the opposite of our life.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, oh, you got all those jobs I didn't get.
Right.
You took my jobs.
All right, but we want to talk about a not-so-good time, which was you were falsely accused of something.
I was, a burglary.
Of oh, a whoa. Burglary.
Burglary.
That's a big thing to be falsely accused of.
I know. I mean, there are a couple things about this.
A couple things.
But it's one
yes.
of the big crimes.
Yes,
you know, it's like
yeah.
when you think of criminality, like
yes.
burglary comes to mind.
Because burglary means stealing from one's home, yes? Or a business.
This is from a business. Okay. From a business. But, I mean, you can immediately picture somebody in like a mask and a striped shirt or whatever. It's like one of the famous criminals. Right?
With a bag
yeah.
over their
black
shoulder.
And white stripes.
Yes. Yeah.
Hamburglar.
I was accused of burglarizing the bakery I was working at the time.
Okay.
And, I mean, it was just such a shame because I was a star employee.
Oh,
I can
sure.
say that now that I've been accused of burglarizing.
Yes.
Because I was doing a good job for these people. And they turned, I mean, they completely stabbed me in the back.
Where, okay, first of all, I want to know how old you were and what city this was in.
I was in my early 20s. This was in South Jordan, Utah.
Okay. Is that where you're from, Utah?
Yes,
okay.
Yes. I'm always like, can I name the business or are they going to sue me?
I think you have a lawsuit on your hands for them, it sounds like.
We'll say it's a bakery cafe in South Jordan, Utah.
Okay.
There aren't that many.
No.
Okay.
There simply aren't that many there. I worked there as the night manager.
Okay.
For, I don't know, a total of 8 months or something. And at the time, I had worked and been a great employee. At the end of the 8 months, I told my boss, it was one of these wild moments where it's like, I have to quit or I'll never be able to move on. It's in my early 20s. It's like, yes, you'll definitely be able to move on. But I...
You were worried that they were going to keep promoting you.
Yeah, just trapped in that bakery cafe
yes.
cycle.
I have had jobs in my 20s where I was like, oh God, please don't promote me. Fuck this. This can't be
yeah,
my life.
Yeah.
I cannot,
I'll do this forever. Yeah.
I cannot work at this delivery service in accounting at a higher position. I will kill myself.
Yes.
Okay.
Fire me, please.
Yes.
But I quit. That, and for about 3 months, looked for another job. did not find another job, so I was returning. I
okay.
Went crawling back to the bakery cafe, and they didn't hire me as the night manager because that position had been filled. They needed a delivery driver. So
okay.
I took it mm-hmm. happily. This was like pre-Uber days, so it was working as a delivery driver was a weird experience. I mean, really, you only reported to the owner of the business and whoever was mad at you at the delivery thing,
right.
rather than all over the city and phone calls. But so I started doing that. I had been doing it for about a month,
mm-hmm.
and things were going fine. Again, I was a star employee. I was delivering things mostly on time, breads, sandwiches, catering,
mm-hmm.
the works. And one day I turned in the delivery car.
Yeah.
I was driving home. And I get a call from the South Jordan police. And they were like, we need you to come in. Can you come in now? But I was in my bakery clothes. I was like, let me take a shower. So I went home.
You just have flour all over your face.
Yeah.
Absolutely
covered. Did you have any idea why they were calling you?
No
you
idea.
Were just they, like, oh, the police called me and want me to come in.
Completely out of the
okay.
blue. They didn't. And on the phone, I mean, I don't know how getting called in or being accused works usually, but
yes.
they didn't give me any hint as to
that you
Why?
Were in trouble or yeah. something.
And they didn't even tell me that it had to do with the business.
Okay.
So it's like your brain
just
immediately
totally
is like, what have I done? Like,
yeah.
what's the last few months of my life been?
Do I need to come up with alibis?
Right, exactly. So I went home, I showered, I put on some decent clothing. I went into the South Jordan Police Department. And they took me into an interrogation room.
Whoa.
And I sat across the desk from a cop.
Was he smoking?
It was a she.
Oh.
Sexist.
I am.
I'm very sexist. Was she also the pilot and the doctor?
She was. She questioned me during surgery.
Oh, my God.
So, we sat across the desk. It was very, I mean, it was as close to, like, what you see on TV. I mean,
yeah.
I don't think there was, like,
a mirror. A window.
No one was watching me. Aww. Like, her partner wasn't watching me ready to come in or anything. But we did sit across a table from each other, and she started questioning me about the past week.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically, like, where were you last Tuesday? And I explained to her I'd been at a concert that night. The uh-huh. evening was fine. I went home.
Who's the band? Yeah, I kind of want to
I wish
too.
I could remember. Yeah. I know it was at Kilby Court, the famous venue in Utah. I should go back and
the
look.
The Pixies?
It was the Pixies.
Just
I was on stage with the Pixies.
So you got to do a
I was
song
performing.
With them.
I was Kim Deal was out that night. I was
yeah.
playing bass. No, I.
So at this point, do you still not know what this is about?
Still don't know what
okay,
it's
yeah.
about. And so, of course, I'm like, yeah, Tuesday night I was just at a concert, but
yeah.
what was I doing at the concert? What could have,
yes.
like, who did I interact with?
Yes.
What did I do on my way home? And again, I was a star person
sure.
because I just
Clearly.
Was going out to a concert and went home and didn't commit any crimes.
Right.
And so she starts, we go over the details of the night. She was obviously bored by these details.
she's just yawning.
Yeah, she said, can we get this over with? And so she starts telling me about this thing that had happened at the bakery cafe that starts with a K. That's the name of the business does start with a K. And she's like, there was, I think, $1,000 was stolen in the middle of the night on Wednesday night, and she's
okay.
telling me these details. I'm like, oh wow, what's like, I work there, I'm
mm-hmm.
the night manager, I know where the money goes after you've cleared the till for the
yeah.
night. Went in like a pastry bag, which is not super
yeah.
secure. You would slide it under the boss's door.
Okay.
And I had done it countless times, obviously, as the former star
right.
manager. But she tells me all these details, and I was sitting there, I was like, okay, interesting. And she gets to the end of her story, and I was like, why did you ask me where I was Tuesday night?
Right.
And she's like, and then she has to start, she was completely wrong about the story. So she has to go back. She's like, oh, well, where were you Wednesday night? So now I know I'm in the hands of an expert.
Oh,
an
God.
Absolute pro.
The tables have turned.
Yeah,
you're interrogating
yeah,
her.
Like, let me help you solve this
yes.
crime.
First of all, here's a calendar.
Yeah, exactly.
This is how days work.
This one comes after Tuesday. And unfortunately, I don't have an alibi for Wednesday night because my big plan for the week was on Tuesday. I wasn't doing anything Wednesday night.
Recuperating.
Right, of course.
You're playing on the stage.
So obviously at this point she's like, I mean, I think I'm helping my case here where I'm like, well, I'm telling you right. how the crime, maybe I'm not, I don't know, but I don't think the criminal would be like, well.
Right, you know. Pointing out inconsistencies.
Right, so I didn't have a story to tell. I was like, I don't know, I was probably home or I walk around Target when I'm bored. What do I do on nights off?
Right.
Nothing. Watch TV. But we went over the details of that night. I had nothing to say. She's like, well, basically, I don't know that she said were suspicious or whatever, but it was like, thank you for the details. You can go home. No one at work says anything to me about this.
Okay. Well, that's what I was wondering, because at this point, you'd already been at work, no?
Right. I had been at work post-burglary.
Right, but no one mentioned a burglary
Nothing
at
had been
work.
Said.
Okay, that's very peculiar.
But I think it's because they didn't want to raise
any...
Because
they suspected you.
Yeah, they didn't want to give me any heads up.
Right.
Mm. They wanted me to go into the lion's den totally just ready to spill my guts.
Yes.
So they had said nothing. I go, I get questioned by the police, I leave, I'm cleared. I guess I'm not cleared. What do they do when they send
you're
you
still
home?
A suspect?
I'm still a suspect.
Yeah.
At the time, though, I was like, I know exactly who did this.
Oh, you knew who that?
Yeah, there was like one employee who was
like super shady.
Such a dirtbag.
It was the meth guy.
It was the... I really do think he may have like offered drugs at some point, like trying to sell drugs on the job. I was like... What are we talking about?
Why is anyone not looking at him?
Yeah, you're
this
like,
is
look
Alex.
At me. Look yes. at Alex the meth head.
But I went back to work the next day, and again, nothing said to me. They never say anything to me. Well, actually, something may have been said at some point, because the interesting thing that started happening was they started slowly removing me from the schedule.
Oh.
Like, I was probably working 4 days a week, and then it was two, and then over the course of about 5 weeks, I'm just not on the schedule anymore. Not fired.
Oh.
Just left in the balance to be, I guess they were like...
We'll see what the police come up with?
Either we'll see what the police come up with, or the, you know, these crack cops were never able to come up with something. Right. So they're like, I guess we'll just... not have him anymore.
Because we don't know.
But we can't directly blame. But I think generally their theory was Bridger works here for 8 months. He disappears. He formulates a plan over the summer. He comes back again under the guise of star employee. But he knows where the money is at. And he knows what the codes are and all of this. And so, and I guess he needs $1,000.
Yes.
And so I think that they just thought that it was an inside job planned by somebody who knew all the details of the place, which truthfully was everyone who worked there.
I was going to say, maybe the person who took your job.
Yeah, the person who took my job. Any other night employee.
The dirtbag.
Maybe just a random burglar.
Right.
Sure.
There are just so many options.
Right.
So for me to no longer be the delivery driver felt like an unfair punishment.
I agree.
Yes.
I don't know. Have either of you ever been accused of something?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I've been accused of like cheating.
Yeah,
and
me
I
too.
Haven't done anything wrong.
Were you taken
wrong?
Off the schedule?
So you never bring up, hey, I heard there was a robbery at the bakery the other day. Just no one's talking about it?
What am I doing? Like, yeah, I should have, like... I wonder why I didn't.
Because you would just think it's normal conversation. If you're working in a business and it got robbed, you would say, oh my God, I heard there was a robbery.
Right. I wonder if I was like, because it hadn't been spoken of by anyone else, I was like, maybe this is a touchy subject.
Right.
Also, like, is it going to make me look suspicious if I bring it up?
Yeah.
Also, I don't like talking to my coworkers. That's part of it as well.
Maybe they sense that, and that's why they blamed you.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
snobby. Snobby. Snobby stole the money.
Snobs are never the burglar.
I know.
Frasier doesn't burglarize the studio, this kind of thing.
He just steals scenes.
Right. And time.
I never brought it up. I obviously talked to friends about it.
Yeah.
And I believe I blogged about it. I believe this was like a MySpace blog at some point.
I love it.
But I did not bring it up to anyone else professionally, unless I may have had a friend working there at the time, but they may have all quit after I quit. I can't remember.
Okay, so that leads me. Okay, so do they ever bring you in again?
I'm not brought back in.
I mean, to the police?
No.
Okay, and then you're sort of written like a character on a sitcom. You're written out.
Yes, I'm written out.
You're just not on the schedule, but no one ever confronts you. So do you go in and say, hey, where are my hours, or what happened?
I guess this goes back to my personality, where I'm just like, well, I guess this is what's happening to me. I'll do absolutely nothing to change what's going on.
I guess I don't work there anymore.
Wow, interesting. I know exactly why, and it's not fair, but...
oh, well, there's nothing I could do.
Time to find another job to be abused at, neglected and underappreciated. Yeah, I wonder what the next job was.
I don't mean to be rude to you, because we don't usually do this sort of talk with a guest here, but we forgot to talk about Feud.
Oh, Feud.
Feud. Did you guys watch it?
I watched one episode last night.
Did you watch it?
I've watched both.
Okay, did you watch it?
I've not watched it.
Oh, because two were out?
That was your homework. Yeah. You were supposed to watch both episodes.
I watched two shows that I was disappointed in.
What were you
watching?
Feud
and Expats.
Oh, I haven't heard of Expats.
The one with Nicole Kidman where she's a sad mom.
Yeah.
Oh. So it's anything she's done in the last 10 years.
Right, yeah.
I did watch that.
You guys were supposed to watch Feud.
I did.
You watched
one
episode.
But you were disappointed.
I was too, actually. I find it very flat.
I thought it was so boring.
I think it needs to be campier.
Yes. Sure.
Or just better.
Yes.
Because I find it very... Flat is the word that just keeps coming to mind. I'm like, okay, these things are happening. I mean, I was trying to find... I was doing an impression of Truman Capote for my son, and he was like, what? And I was like, he's like, why does he talk like that? And I said... I don't know. He was super gay and super southern, and somehow that's the voice that came out. I don't know why he talked like that.
Is that a good impression? Do you know
Truman Capote's
well
voice is it's
oh,
one
it
of
is
those
a good
things
impression.
When you're watching a TV show or movie about him, you're like, this is so irritating, but you're like, oh, unfortunately, it's right on.
Oh, it's complete. Yeah. So I brought up a clip of him on The Tonight Show, of Truman Capote on The Tonight Show, and it was right. And anyway, my point was, so I was trying to find a clip of the actor talking like him, and they kept showing these previews that make the show look really fun and exciting, and I'm like, well, we haven't gotten to those episodes because none of that shit's happened yet, so maybe it does get more interesting. I don't know.
I thought you, because you've read a lot about, I think, these women in some books you've been reading, so
it turns out
I was like, maybe Danielle thought this was more exciting than I did.
So it turns out the Demi Moore character is the one that I read the book about.
Okay.
The one who, did she shoot her husband? Was it an accident or did it really happen? So that's her character.
I know about Lee Radswell, who hasn't appeared yet, the Molly Ringwald character, because I've only seen the
second
deal?
Episode.
She's the one who I think maybe murdered her husband in Connecticut.
No, that's who I just said.
But I think didn't Lee Radswell also?
There's two that murdered their husbands.
Really?
Women be loving to murder their husbands.
No, the Connecticut thing is when woman I just talked.
Garen, can you look up Lee Radswell and see if she murdered her husband or murdered somebody or if somebody got murdered in her house?
Well, it's funny you say that, because they get to her house and you're like, who is this woman? Did they mention at all who she is? It was really weird.
I was kind of drifting halfway through that episode. I was a little tired, so I was like, is this one of the people he's already made mad?
No.
Like, why is he at Thanksgiving now? It's different.
It's weird. It's a totally different person. Right. And then you're supposed to you're just dropped. And then I was like, is that, oh my God, I can't believe I'm going to forget her name. Oh, Danielle.
Actress?
The comedian from the 60s. Who was, Wolf, you know, the stand-up comedian.
Joan Rivers.
No, before her.
Another
Phyllis
woman?
Diller.
Oh.
I was like, is that supposed to be Phyllis Diller? Like, I was convinced it was supposed to be Phyllis Diller, but then they never mentioned her, and I'm like, oh, I guess it's just a woman with a feather dress and Phyllis Diller's hair. Like, it was, I mean, watch.
Yeah.
If you're a certain age, you're going to assume it's Phyllis Diller. Like,
it's completely
crazy. But anyway, so your thought was...
Yeah, what did you think?
I didn't mind it, but again, I said, like, I was kind of drifting about halfway through each episode. Where I was like, oh, I'm getting a little snoozy right now. I didn't mind it. It seems like all of, like, the exciting stuff, like what you talk about, like, with the murder is all, like, in flashbacks. And, like, you can show that in a trailer, and it's like, wow, what's going to happen?
Right.
And then it's in the first episode, and it kind of is inconsequential. I mean,
yeah.
Leads to a little something, you know, a thing.
Yeah.
it's fine so far, but I was really confused about this Thanksgiving situation.
Thank you. Okay, I'm glad.
He gets canceled on for Thanksgiving.
Right.
Yeah. And talks about it being in Miami, right?
Yeah.
And then is, what I believe, in Miami at Thanksgiving at a different, I guess, Thanksgiving. Maybe I'm not paying enough attention.
No, he did get canceled, and then he finds himself at the other Thanksgiving, which is
also in Miami?
I don't know. I don't know what state it was in. I just know that they did not introduce who Molly Ringwald's character was, so you're just like, okay, I guess he has another swan who's not as swanny as the regular swans.
And I feel like it's not that much in the episode, so it's basically him just being drunk.
Yeah, it's just a lot of him. Oh, wait, yes. I just have to tell you this. Is it okay if I give one thing away?
Please.
So my husband's not watching it, but he said, oh, does, see, I'm old and I can't remember names now.
Demi Moore.
King Kong. Jessica Lange. He goes, does Jessica Lange show up? And I'm like, of course, she's his dead mother. I mean, who else is she going to be? Of course Jessica Lange shows up as his dead mother.
Or Sarah Paulson. It's going to be one of those.
No, it was her. I'm telling you. She showed up as her dead mother.
What will Sarah Paulson be?
Exactly. She'll be in it too, I'm sure. But it was so, that scene.
Very odd.
So like.
I mean, if you want it, camp.
I was going to say, right. I don't know. It's like. Yeah, it was super campy, but it didn't somehow work. I don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, like,
maybe it's too sad.
Not emotional.
It does feel sad.
It's very sad.
And not fun.
And no one's likable, really.
Yeah.
I mean, he's horrible. Anyway.
Also, I'll say there is a Clark Kent Superman effect with his boyfriend, where it's like they meet in the sauna.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the guy shows up wearing glasses.
In
I was
a
like,
taxi?
Is that the same guy?
Yeah, same.
I mean, what are we looking at here?
At the end of the episode, because Svenon was like, I don't even understand the purpose of that guy being in the episode.
Well, because he comes back.
And I go, well, maybe he's going to come back later, but also, I guess, just to show him that he could write about the swans, because he says to him, you know, here's what you can write about.
Right.
I go, other than that, I guess I don't know really why he was even there. Like, maybe he's going to be important later.
He is.
But yeah, it just felt like there were also a lot of scenes that felt like they could have been fun, but were just not fun. Like when he's talking about the swans to that guy, to the Clark Kent guy, he's like, oh, CZ? No one knows more about marigolds than CZ.
Right.
And I'm like, that's her personality? She goes way beyond the season with marigolds. And I was like, oh, well, I can't wait to meet her.
Let's dig in.
Oh,
that's exactly right. They show right.
She's cutting marigolds.
Why would that
her personality.
Make something up.
Yeah.
If that's all that she wants, make shit up.
Yeah, sure.
There's one other detail.
I want it to be like, oh, CZ, she had a three-way and one of them wasn't even human. Like, I want it to be.
Like, they show
real
her
big
cutting
and
marigolds with, I guess, her daughter. They don't introduce any of the other families. So, it's...
And then the one, Diane Lane, who, stunning still, like, amazing looking. He's like, well, she doesn't really have a personality. Isn't that how she's introduced? Is like, she isn't really, she's so smart, but doesn't really have a personality. And I'm like, could we have been less truthful about...
Yeah, it's not really a...
We don't
good.
Have, I don't care if it's truthful.
Right.
It doesn't have to.
You can
hem to
juice
history.
It up.
Yeah, let's.
Also, you're supposed to think he has some affection for her, so doesn't quite make sense.
Like, how,
if he doesn't think
all,
she has a personality?
Do they not even any of these people like each other?
No, they don't. I mean, it's like The Real Housewives. It's really like watching The Real Housewives, except less fun, but better clothes.
I mean, I did like the period scene. I liked that woman's getting revenge.
Yeah.
I was
her.
Like, if there was more of that,
yeah. Yeah, that was pretty
good.
Who
was that actress, by the way?
I don't know.
She seemed to be wearing, like, facial prosthetics.
Well, they can't hire an actual person with any weight on her, so... Anyway, I'll watch every episode.
you can report
you
on
can
if...
turn around.
You can let us know, or me, because I probably won't watch any more of it, unless you say, you got to tune back in, Chris. It's worth it.
All right. Okay. Well, Bridger, thank you so much for
thank
being
you
here.
For
this
yes.
was great.
So fun.
I loved
you
it.
Know, air some dirty laundry.
I know. I'm going to book a flight to Utah and not go
go
there.
Go to a different bakery.
I want to go in just to set things right for you.
Yeah, I'm going to...
Get the job back for me.
Maybe.
We're going to say
I'm looking
you
for work.
Accused... I'm going to say I'm not here to buy anything.
Except maybe a baguette, because apparently you do that okay.
I am hungry, but I'm still going to go to a different bakery. I just want to let you know you did our friend wrong.
Yeah, you did him dirty. And we will be right back after this with What Did We Learn Today? Chris.
Danielle.
Are you ready to learn what we learned today?
No.
You're not?
No. You know why?
Why?
Because I have a birthday present for you.
What? Oh, no.
Totally.
You got me.
I surprised you.
You totally got me.
And I'm going to give it to you right now.
Oh, my gosh. It's not the Girl Scout cookies?
No. You paid for those.
I know.
Oh,
thank you.
It's just a little something, something. Oh,
cute.
I like that wrapping paper.
Oh, wait. No, no. Give that back. What? It's the wrong one.
Okay, you wrote two different cards, or is someone else's birthday?
That's a postcard.
Oh, okay.
That, I mean, it is. This is as well, but this is actually for you.
Okay, who was the other postcard to?
None of your business.
Oh my God. Okay, should I read this later?
It's up
to you. Should I read it on the air? Okay,
you can read it on the air. I think it's.
All right.
Yes, read it on the air.
All right, it's two ladies, and one says, "I'm going to shut myself away and write a novel set in a horrific dystopia," and the other one says, "Good luck." And then it says 5 years later, and the woman is finished writing. She says, finished. And then she comes out, and she says, damn, because it is now a horrific dystopia. There are Handmaid's Tale ladies and guys with machine guns, and it's very funny. Okay. Danielle, happiest of birthdays. I'm sorry your big day occurs during this 100-year storm, but at least it's memorable. I'm okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. That's very sweet. Thank you. And then I got, I got some
there's
sort
no way of
book.
Telling. There's no way of telling what it is.
Nope. It's some sort of, I like this paper.
It's fun, right?
Yes.
It's book paper. It's covered in books.
My son got me a book, too, and he was so cute. He said, I bought it with my own money.
Aww.
I don't know. It was so cute.
What book was it?
I hope it was a book I already had.
Aw, damn it.
Seven Wives of Hugo. Whatever.
Victor Hugo?
No, not Victor Hugo.
Evelyn Hugo?
Yes.
I didn't read that.
It was fun. Ooh, what's this? Oh, okay, you're asking me about this. Hamnet, a novel of the plague. What? I don't know what this is about.
So this is a fictionalized version of Shakespeare's wife, and
Anne Hathaway.
Were alive during the plague.
Oh.
And they lose a child. They had twins.
Okay.
And they lost one of their twins during the plague. But the book is really beautifully written.
Oh, thank you.
Maggie O'Farrell is the author. I've read another of her books that I can't remember the name of right now. The Marriage Portrait, which is also a great book. This was probably one of my favorite books I read last year.
Well, thank you. So, I'm excited to read it.
I hope you like it. It is historical fiction.
You know, I've been reading a few of those, never intended to. I ended up liking some of them, so sure.
Same. I didn't know I liked historical fiction, but I think it also just depends on who the writer
is.
Yeah,
I think so too. Well, thank you. I really appreciate it.
And they're making it into a movie.
Oh, I think I saw that. Okay.
With some really fine
actors.
Oh, right,
actors. Because I said they should have cast Anne Hathaway.
They really
be Anne Hathaway, but they didn't.
Missed an opportunity, but they're casting someone else that's very great.
Jessie What's-Her-Face, who I like very much.
Yes, Jessie whatever her last name is.
Yes, I met her at the awards last year, and I'm just blanking on her name, but she was in Fargo, in a season of Fargo.
She was?
No, I take that back. She wasn't in a Yes, she was. She was the scary nurse.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that.
Yeah. Okay.
Teach us.
Now are you ready to learn what we learned today?
I'm finally ready.
Jesse okay. Buckley, by the
Thank
way.
Thank you, Jesse Buckley. Yeah. Argyle critically panned in a soft $35 million global opening box office. Yeah, that doesn't sound too... That's crazy because, I mean, they really advertise the fuck out of it. I guess people really do listen to critics before they go.
Maybe they do. Or maybe people just didn't... I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
There are so many cats. Let them do their own stunts.
That's right. Or let Tom Cruise do it.
Yes.
He'd probably do the stunts.
Yes. In the heart of downtown Los Angeles and almost 1,000 feet above ground level, 71 above is the highest restaurant west of the Mississippi.
Oh,
that's cool to know.
I like it.
Simply put, a prefix menu, pronounced prefix, is a multi-course meal available for a fixed price. There can be as few as two or as many as 10 or more courses. Sometimes the menu is completely determined by the chef. You're told what the courses will be, and that's that. Well, guess what place I could never go to? A place where you don't get a say in the food.
What if it's vegetarian?
Then I could absolutely do it. Oh, okay. I would love to do it.
Yeah.
Or pescatarian. yeah, I'm all over it. But otherwise, mm-mm. Laverne and Shirley featured ladies working the bottling line at Schott's Brewery in Milwaukee, living in a basement apartment of a downtown brownstone. And
ooh, they're vulnerable to flooding.
Yes,
well, that's why
are.
It came up. Did you forget?
Yeah.
Were you like, why are we talking about Laverne and Shirley?
Yes. No, I just, the bottles, I remembered the bottles and us talking about soda and beer, but I didn't remember why it came up. Guys, I forget things the moment it comes out of my brain.
Spending their evenings at the pizza parlor and bowling alley owned by Laverne's father, who of course was Mr. DeFazio. Be prepared. Know if you're in a flood zone. Get emergency supplies, medicine, water, make a plan, etc. Turning off your appliances saves you money, reduces the risk of electrical fires, and can even extend the lifespan of your appliances. Make sure to unplug them whenever possible and always unplug them when you leave for an extended period of time.
Your mom was right.
I guess so. Stay away from flood waters. Turn around. Don't drown.
Wow. We learned so much today.
So much was learned.
Oh, thank you, listeners, for tuning in.
Yes.
On your radio dial. And DJ Jazzy Jeff is up next.
Is he?
I think so,
is he
going
to get thrown out of the mansion?
Yep. I hope you will all check out our Patreon.
Yes.
Thank you for those who already are subscribers. We appreciate your support.
We had a super fun bonus this last.
We really did. And thank you to some new members who've joined. We are going to be reading names soon on an episode forthcoming. And some new merch is going to be coming very soon as well. So
yeah.
Until then,
remain calm.